For this segment of Tech Talk with Johnson College, Dr. Katie Leonard hosts Ryan Lecky, Emmy-nominated TV personality on WNEP, where they discuss our community, the physical and mental effects of COVID-19, and Ryan's relationship with Johnson College.
So here we are in the new year. This is a year that we've all been waiting for. It's a time to look forward and think about all the positive things, hopefully, coming our way. I'm always struck by how people approach each new year. Some people like to make resolutions, others formulate those resolutions more into goals, and still others go to bed in one ear and wake up in another and simply carry on. Over the years, I've thought about each new year as a different combination of these things. Part fresh start, part reflection, and part of just trying to appreciate the moment. This year, though, is a little different. I don't think any of us can deny that. I think in 2020, there was this sense of loss, and it was easy to get caught up in thinking that that's all there was, that all was lost. And I think a new year can be a fresh start, and maybe a time to make a pledge to yourself, something that's going to help your mental or emotional health. For me, I had a pledge at the end of 2020 to stop watching the news so much. It was scaring me in many ways that I really don't think I needed to be scared. So I found a few of the news sources that I trust and like, and I check them on a regular basis. And that's it for me. I cut myself off. I let these sources inform my plans for the college and my personal decisions, and then I try to move on. I try not to ruminate. I try not to dwell. I just try to synthesize the information, apply it as best as I can, and then carry on, as hard as that is sometimes. So heading into 2021, I'm pledging to do more of what I love doing, reflecting on what matters to me, and then just doing it, and trying new things that I've always thought about doing. Some of those things include learning to play guitar, or maybe even learning how to ride a motorcycle. These are things I've always wanted to try, things I've always wanted to see if I can do. And if not now, then when? I also want to figure out ways to travel through this pandemic, because it can still be done. This region is wonderful for day trips and exploring. And speaking of that, while I'm at it, I want to hike more and explore more. I possess this great sense of curiosity that when I was getting my doctorate, this was getting fed all the time. I was reading and learning and applying things and asking questions and diving deeper. So now I need to find it in new ways. And it's been hard, like during the pandemic. But one thing I've learned about myself since my doctorate and through the pandemic is that I'm a doer. I have an interest in so many things. So as I said, why not try them all? So many people told me that after I got my doctorate, I would want to sort of sit back and rest for a while, take it easy. And while I did need some of that, it was short-lived for me. I knew I'd be looking for my next interest, my next challenge, to satisfy whatever my next curiosity was going to be. And I realized this is really where I get my energy. Not everyone's built this way, and I recognize that, but I am, so I need to listen to that. And I think we all need to listen to whatever that is for us, whatever energizes us. So let's make this pledge in the year 2021, pandemic or no pandemic, figure out what you want to do more of, and then go out and do it. Figure out ways to get it done safely. We all know winter can be long in wonderful northeastern Pennsylvania, and when we add the pandemic to it, it does seem as if some of this will never end. So take this as an opportunity to think about what you love, those things that make you you, or the things that you've wanted to try, and then go out there and do them. I know it sounds simple, but you know what? At this point, maybe it is. Try it. Pick one thing and just do it. Figuring out what matters is important and is a large part of the discussion of this month's podcast. This month, my guest is Mr. Ryan Lecky from WNEP. We discuss how the pandemic is helping us all figure out what matters most to us and how incredible northeastern Pennsylvania can be. Sometimes we take for granted those things that are right in our own backyard, but in this podcast, we celebrate them. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope you learn something. And please, in this new year, do one thing that you want to try or do more of. If nothing else, it will help you get through part of the winter. Thank you for listening. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it.
I'm so excited. This is odd for me to have myself being on the other side, right?
You're
lobbing questions at me.
That's right.
It's usually the other way around.
This is going to be fun. Usually I'm in the hot seat.
Yeah, let's get to it.
Well, really, you know, the first thing I want to talk about, because, you know, we're both not from this area originally, and I think your story is so interesting to people. So my first question is, what brought you here? And just, you know, tell everyone a little bit about who you are, what brought you here, and what keeps you here.
Right. So the short answer is work. But how I got here. So I was born and raised in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Pittsburgh. And I grew up there, and I always had a passion for television since I was a kid. So I remember being like 13 years old, riding my bike to my hometown station. I would wait in the lobby at WJAC-TV, which was an NBC affiliate in Johnstown, waiting for the general manager to come talk to me. And I had a trapper keeper. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
With a binder full of ideas. Yeah, that would get people to watch the news, specifically teens. I'm like, hey, I have all these great ideas for teenagers to watch the news. So I'd sit in the lobby and basically stalk this guy. And at that time, obviously, I didn't know our key demographic was, you know, women 25 to 54 years old. So, you know, I'd wait for the GM to meet me. And I had such a passion for TV. And this will all come to answer your question on how I got here, right? So long story short, I started at WJAC-TV in Johnstown after I graduated high school. So at the time, they were looking for people to work behind the scenes in the control room. So executing a newscast, directing, tape loading, audio, cameras, all that stuff. So I got a job part-time initially to work behind the scenes while I was also going to school full-time at the University of Pittsburgh at Johnstown. Wow. So I started doing that, and then all of a sudden my part-time hours, I was working so much, became full-time hours because I transitioned from the control room part-time to also dabbling part-time in the news department because all of a sudden three people left at once. They needed help, and I'm like, hey, I'll do it. I'll work for free just to learn anything. So I worked at WJAC-TV in Johnstown, PA for almost 4.5 years, all the way through my undergrad, full-time. So I'd work the morning show for the most part. So I'd get up at 3 in the morning. I'd go to work from like 4 a.m. until 8. Then I'd go to class at college. Then I'd come back, finish my work for the day if I had to. But I also work like, oh my gosh, 12 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. So I started doing that. Long story short, after your first job in TV, right, you want to move up in markets. This was back in the day. Hopefully your listeners remember VHS tapes. Uh-huh. I sent out 68 resumes and VHS tapes all over the country to different places I thought I'd want to work. And this was during the time where employers would send rejection letters, like either postcards, like, we got your stuff. You're not the right fit for us. Good luck to you. Right. Nobody sends that anymore. Everybody just goes dark.
Right.
So I had enough rejection letters to literally wallpaper a small bathroom.
Wow.
And I sent out 68 resumes and tapes, got 3 calls, and WNEP was one of them. But I always give a shout out because people don't realize this. My current coworkers at WNEP TV, Newswatch 16, Julie Sidoni and John Meyer, I worked with them for years at my first job.
That's right.
So I'll never forget, John Meyer is the one who flagged me and said, hey, we have this morning show opening. If you want to come here, send a tape. I'll put in a word. And I mean, good luck. You got to come in here and like really land the part, right? Mm-hmm. So I had 68 resumes and tapes out, 3 calls. One of them was like in Sarasota, Florida, which was a smaller market than WNEP. And I knew the reputation this station has is like one of the highest rated ABC stations in the country. So I'm like, great, I'll come here. So I had like 2 interviews and I accepted the job. So that was in 2005. I thought I would be here literally for 2 years, like some people in television. I'm going to work here for 2 years, move up in markets. And I ended up staying 15 years later.
Yeah.
Still here. And, you know, since when I started here, the role and my job has just really changed and evolved. Mm-hmm. And one thing led to another. And voila.
Yeah. And it's great.
I call Northeastern Pennsylvania home. And
I know.
Really proud of it. And this area really, I have to say, even back in 05, welcomed me with open arms. And I really felt like one of the OGs.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. You know, like, so I came here from New York and I went to York College. Same thing. I thought, well, I'm going to go to school here. I'm going to get the away experience. And then I'm going to go back to New York, because who doesn't want to go back to New York? But I have to say, just Pennsylvania in general, and, you know, where York is in the southern part of, you know, the state, and now being up here, it's just such a friendly group of people. Being from New York, like, I would want to start random conversations with people. And, you know, in New York, they shut that down. Mm-hmm. But whether I was down in York, And especially up here in northeastern Pennsylvania, I just find the people to be so warm and welcoming, like you said, and just, you know, embracing, you know, people that aren't necessarily from the area, which I think is interesting because I sometimes don't hear that. But I'll never forget the first like week I was up here, I was standing in line at like a Dunkin' Donuts and, you know, I made a random comment to the woman in front of me and she immediately turned around like she was my best friend. And we had this whole conversation about the area and about being online at Dunkin' Donuts. And I thought, man.
And then you got her cell phone number and you were at her house for dinner, right?
And now we're besties, right? Yeah. And now I'm like, and I'm, wow, I'm home. Like that's how I felt, especially when I stepped on this campus too. There was just something about the people. So very quickly I went from, oh, you know, maybe this is like kind of like a pit stop to like, this is where I could be for a really long time.
And what year was that
for you? So I moved up here in 2007.
Right. Because yeah. I think I met you like right when you started.
Yeah. Because I remember I reached out. I was like, who is this guy?
I want to know him. Back. But I think too, I think, you know, not only do people evolve, but your careers evolve, right?
Right.
So I met you back in the day when you were
I was like the coordinator of like fundraising and annual giving.
And I met Katie Leonard, now Dr. Katie Leonard. And I was like, man,
and
you're
Dr.
going
Leckie.
Places.
Yeah. And I think too, you hit on something really important. And that's the power of relationships and networking. Like you said, you know, John Myers and Julie, like you knew them and look how that, you know, in a way brought you here. And that's, I think that that's really important for people to understand.
Yeah. And I really stress, I remember I taught at Mary Wynne University for 5 years, a broadcast news writing class and media performance class. We might get back to that. I see you looking at your notes, but really I always stress that with my students. He said, that's how you're going to land the job you want or get to the next step.
Yeah.
It's all about people, people, people.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see something posted online, but it's a connection or someone who you know who works there, mm-hmm. or reaching out to somebody who's going to be your foot in the door.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we both know the area really well, you especially. Like, what do you feel are the area's like best attributes? Like, and what do you think people take for granted?
I have to say, I'm a huge foodie, so I love the food, right?
Oh, yeah.
I know, I mean, being in this area, even growing up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, we did not have the pizza that we have here.
Yeah.
We have some of the best mom and pop shops, hole in the wall places that have pizza that will rival anybody in the country.
I know we're both Little Pizza Heaven fans. I think we both
love Little Pizza Heaven. Yeah. I love Mainline Pizza in Dixon City, Luigi's and Olivet. I mean, I could go on and name all of the mom and pop shops who really that I love to visit often, right? Mm-hmm. You go in, it's kind of scary when you call and they see your number.
Oh,
and you're like, okay, you want the usual? And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll have it. But just, I think food is the one thing I think we take for granted until you leave this area.
Yeah.
My mom lives in Florida, so when I go to visit her and she's like, let's go out for pizza. I'm like, no, thanks. I'll wait till I get back home.
That's right.
Because I don't want to blow like a fat day on pizza I don't
even
want.
Even going back to New York, like I said, I was just like talking about this the other day. You know, the pizza here rivals anything that I would get back
in
New York.
Yeah, pizza, pierogies, the kielbasa. I think the food is number one, but I think also what makes this area great, and you hit the nail on the head, the people you meet. I will strike up conversations with people everywhere in grocery stores, wherever. And then I'm like, I'll come to your house for dinner Saturday because you're my new BFF. People are so inviting. They're warm. They're welcoming. And they really make you feel like, you know, you're a native, you know, northeastern Pennsylvania.
That's
like
right.
Like you and I are transplants, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. But now it feels like we've been here forever. And where do you think, you know, where do you think northeastern PA could do better? Because I often say, like, sometimes we just got to give ourselves a break. Like, cut us, like, we're so hard on ourselves sometimes. And I go to Vermont a lot, and I'm like, I come back and I go hiking here, and I'm like, really? Like, this area could rival a place like Vermont, yet Vermont is Vermont. Do you know what I mean?
Right. So I think when you're saying, where can we give ourselves a break, I think being a little bit more open to different ideas and cultures and religions. But I have to say, after, you know, going out in 17 counties, working here in the past 15 years, from when I started here in 2005 to where people are today, they're evolving.
Yeah.
In the aspect, like, you know, I'm out, I'm openly gay, right? But to be at an event like the Bloomsburg Jamboree, right, where I meet people who normally there's a stereotype like, oh, only country folks go there, right, or whatever. Mm-hmm. I have been to those events with some of the nicest and warmest people who I think it's their way to get to know me better when they'll come up to me and I get a kick out of it is somebody will say, hey, Ryan, I know we haven't met, but I wanted to let you know, over the summer, I went to a friend of a friend's gay wedding and it was really cool. And I'm cool with that. Like out of nowhere, I'm solicited. I'm like, hey, thanks. Thanks for being open-minded about letting people live their best lives. Right. So I think people are evolving here and they're warming up. But I think what you said, it's sometimes really being grateful what's in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of that. Like, I mean, you know, for me ordering pizza from my favorite mom and pop shop every other weekend or whatever, you don't think twice about it. And then I go visit my mom in Florida and you try some food down there. You're like, oh my gosh, this is awful. I want to go home. You know what I mean? Know. You got sunshine, but we got great food.
That's right. And sometimes that trumps everything. So speaking of your mom, you mentioned she lives in Florida. So how has the pandemic sort of affected like your ability to see her, or has it? I know you've been to see her, but
The pandemic. She actually, I should say, she has. So my mom spends summers in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So she was she was up here. She came up here and, you know, she did her quarantine thing, but my mom really isn't around a lot of people. She's a nurse.
Oh, that's
so
right.
She's very like by the book with COVID. And I tell people, you have to do what works for you.
Absolutely.
And what you're comfortable with. And I don't want a COVID shame and none of that, right? Because people are doing that. And I don't think that's a great way to handle this pandemic.
Yeah.
Everybody has enough stress on them with everything. And for my mom, you know, she came up here and, you know, she came to visit me and, you know, we hung out at my house, but we didn't do a whole lot or saw a lot of people. And the thing is, I have to say too, even with my job, I'm not around anybody. You know, when I am doing my Lucky Live shots, you know, at the time of recording this, you know, it's still like fall, like weather, November. I have to say, you were doing live shots outside. I'm not around people. We're social distancing. We did stuff here with you guys, and we're like 20 feet apart.
Yeah.
And even being back in the building at WNEP, which still has very few people working inside the facility, I'm in my own separate room. That's the size of a regular office, and nobody's around me. I flip the lights on myself. I turn the camera on, turn the touchscreen TV on, and I'm off to the races, right? So I think, you know, I haven't been around anybody. I'm trying to be conscious of that, but I also tell people you have to do what works for you. So I don't judge people if they are maybe doing something different.
Yeah. We've had a lot of conversations about that here too. And just sort of like the impact it's having on people's mental health and how how it's impacting people differently. You know, have you seen that too? Like just as you're out and about?
Yeah, I definitely think people who have maybe dialed back from social connection, those are the folks who have been impacted the most. So what I mean about that, people not taking the initiative, whether to Zoom with somebody or even be outside around their neighbors, even if they're at like a safe distance. I think connecting with one another in any way you can is the way to get past that. Because, you know, you mentioned about the mental impact that COVID has had on so many people. I should say the psychological effects, right? The stress, the depression, which is at an all-time high. And it's a lot of folks who just really aren't coming out of their homes or shell, but also maybe not picking up the phone to call somebody.
Right. And it's going to have like a ripple effect too. Like I've been saying, like, I think some of it, like it hasn't even, we were in so like adrenaline mode at the start of this. We all had to make these like big decisions. We all had to like keep everybody safe. We had a lot of responsibility and you just did it. Right. And it was sort of like that flight or fight response really kicked in.
You figured
and
it out, whatever you had to
do. And now it's sort of like, there's some days when we come in here, cause you know, capacity, you know, some people are working like 2 days a week from home, 3 days on campus and vice versa. There's days where like I'm the only one here, and it's that for someone social like me, like you said, like
we're extroverts. We thrive like and we love to be around
like,
people.
I'm like, oh man, like is this this is getting to me. Like it's, you know, it's difficult. So just, and like you said, making that effort, and you know, especially too as it gets colder, I've been stressing to everybody, get some good gear. Like I know I'm a big outdoors person to begin with, so I'll go hiking in any kind of weather. But I've been saying to people, just get yourself some good gear, because trust me, come, like it might be okay now, but come, you know, January, we're all going to be looking
for those. We're going to be holed up in our houses and be like, what can we do?
Right. Yeah. And looking for that social connection. I know we have your neighbors in common.
They're best
wonderful.
Best neighbors on the planet.
That's
yes.
right. They are our golden alumni here at Johnson College. And, you know, just seeing them, I'm sure, and just kind of keeping that sense of normalcy has become even more important than
ever super before. Important. I think that's a connection, especially, you know, you mentioned my neighbors. I mean, they're with our dog every day, which is great. So those are people, I call them our quarantine crew.
Yeah.
They're maybe, you know, there's about a dozen people I can name who I've been around or whatever since March.
Yeah.
And that's basically it, you know, and those are your peeps, but those are the connections that really matter to keep you thriving.
Yeah. And I know we were talking a little bit earlier just about how things have changed, you know, like you said, you've taken precautions on, you know, your show. And I know like Ryan's Run is so important to you too. Could you talk a little bit about that and some of the changes you had to make for?
Right. So Ryan's Run is a charity campaign with WNEP-TV that we launched 11 years ago. And it's kind of crazy. Wow. We started with a team of 5 people. And we now have a team of 50 area runners from all over northeastern and central Pennsylvania. And I always explain to people, they're always like, what's that run portion you do? So the run portion of Ryan's Run is the TCS New York City Marathon. So usually for 11 years, August through November, we launch our charity campaign on television and we tell a lot of stories. Ryan's Run benefits kids and adults with disabilities who are served by Allied Services, one of northeastern Pennsylvania's largest nonprofits. And Allied treats people based on need, not ability to pay. So fundraisers for them, super crucial, like so many nonprofits. And as Ryan's Run kind of evolved, you know, after year one raising funds, we really wanted to earmark all the money raised for new cutting edge rehabilitation technology that would allow Allied to purchase some of the latest and greatest devices to help people rebounding from strokes, spinal cord injuries that normally you'd have to drive to DC to get to Philadelphia, that we can bring that right here in our own backyard. So coming back to how the pandemic impacted it, you know, every year for the past plus decade, you know, we were able to raise our funds August through November, have huge community events, happy hour fundraisers, axe throwing events, tons of stuff that would bring people out in droves and you know, hundreds of people at our Ryan's Run 5K that we would do every October, which would raise a huge chunk of money for the cause as well. All of those, when the pandemic happened, were canceled. So we went from having events where some runners might raise on their own, because we have 50 runners on our team, and the requirement to be on the team is committing to raising $5,000.
Okay.
It's a big chunk of change for somebody to raise, but the communities are always amazing, and they really respond to that. So the runners would come up with their own fundraisers, happy hours, or whatever type of event they could do to raise, you know, money to help out Ryan's Run. And then when the pandemic hit, all of that stuff that, you know, our charity campaign relied on just came to a screeching halt, because especially Allied, being a healthcare provider, was really cautious on all the events we were having, right? Like we didn't have the 5K, we were dialed back a lot of stuff, and that impacted fundraising. You know, we went from a record-breaking year in 2019 of raising $652,000, I believe the number was, in 3 months, to raising $275,000 during the pandemic. And I really have to say, though, every cent, every dollar that we raised this year, we celebrated, because we didn't know what we would have raised during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we also knew it was tough for people to give to any charity, whether it was ours or another one, because, you know, during the pandemic, people lost their jobs and they had to choose between paying their bills or buying food. And we understood that. And we had to be very careful to how we approach fundraising and asking for money. Mm-hmm. It was a tough year, but we were grateful this year in 2020. We raised $275,000.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that money this year will be really spent on supporting the healthcare heroes who are on the front lines at Allied, treating patients day in and day out, and making sure they have the tools and resources they need to change lives here at home.
Yeah. It's so interesting you mentioned that too. And just the way, again, not being able to have even those like face-to-face events. We had to cancel our golf tournament, which is our biggest fundraiser, you know, for student support, for scholarships. And we replaced it with kind of a virtual day of giving. And same thing, you're kind of holding your breath. How are people going to respond? And I think you hit on just such a critical point in terms of people that can at this point really want to do something. They want to give back. You know, our students, you know, our majors are connected to essential businesses. So in a lot of ways, like, they kept going. So we really stressed the fact that, like, hey, when the world shut down, like, Johnson College kept going, our students kept going, like, it's our turn to support them. And I have to say,
I know your
the
slogan,
response,
we were. We were even during the pandemic.
That's right. And it was really heartwarming to see the response. You know, people that really resonated with people. I think it really resonated with alumni. I think there was a lot of pride in that, that, like, you know, I was hearing from colleagues at other schools at the start of the pandemic that, you know, and again, there's a lot of fear, of course. People were comfortable being like going remote, doing their classes online. Our students were the opposite. It was almost like I was getting calls and they were like, put me in, coach. Like, I want to help. Like, this is why I'm going to school. This is why I wanted like a hands-on education. So, you know, for us to be able to sort of come back in that way and be able to fundraise and support them and exceed our goal, we were just, like you said, we celebrated every single dollar.
And I think all of that, coming back to even your giving campaign, or or our charity or even others that took place in our area, it's a testament to the people who live in Northeastern and Central Pennsylvania. Those who can give, they still did.
I know.
And we have to, you know, be appreciative of that. And I think that was really amazing. It just really showed the spirit of this area. Pandemic or not, people here have huge hearts.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, speaking of that, you did like 11 years, right? I mean, I remember us being in the parking lot here on campus doing one of the live segments, and you were brainstorming the names for that.
All the time. Like, I think before our fitness event, right?
Yes.
Before we did Clash for Cash at Mohegan Sun Pocono, which happens in the summer. So it's a huge fitness event.
Yeah.
Because with Ryan's Run, our big motto is inspiring fitness, challenging disability, and changing lives. So we put together an all-inclusive, all-abilities type of fitness event called Clash for Cash. And you guys were so awesome. And we were trying to think of how can we build pull-up bars that would safe for the event, but that would be mobile and work. And you guys are like, oh, we'll make it a school project.
Right.
And you did. So it was a great way to engage the community, but engage your students in a project to use that as a way to draw in different types of athletes because we had new toys, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But again, it was just a way that, you know, our nonprofit, our charity came together with students at Johnson College.
Yeah. And I think one thing I've always appreciated is just you're so focused when you're here. You make everyone feel so comfortable. Your processes are awesome. Could you just talk through a little bit like what your
I'm kind of OCD. You can just say it. I feel like that's a nice way to say like you're really OCD.
No, but it's great. And I think we have, you know, faculty that know their technical stuff so well, but then when you put them in front of a camera, you know, sometimes it all of us.
I blank out too, though. I tell people because they're like, oh, you seem like you're on all the time. But trust me, there's days where I'm in a fog and I'm trying to land the plane on the right runway and I can't do it. Right. So we're all human.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is, you know, my passion for the show, we want people to look great and we want to look great. Right. We want to represent whether it's a county fair or a free event at Johnson College or something else going on in the community in the best way we can. And I think especially whether it's working with people who use a lot of technical terms or working with a doctor who's kind of breaking down a study, we want to make sure people understand it. You know, so when I taught at Marywood, there was something I always would tell the students that somebody taught me over the years, you know, in television or media in general, tell them what they're going to hear, then tell them what they just heard. So I want to make sure like the interviews, sometimes if we're talking about something that could be complicated, I might say, Katie, walk me through that before we go on. So I know kind of where your head is and to make sure I'm going to get it right. Because in television, my live shot, sometimes we take a complicated topic and you got 2 minutes to tell the story.
Yeah.
And you might only get those viewers for that 2 minutes. Like our morning show's 2.5 hours long. And some people were grateful for it. They'll watch from 4:30 to 7 a.m.
Right.
But sometimes most people, our research shows, they're really checking in for 10 to 15 minutes. They're brushing their teeth. They're drinking their coffee. They want to get their news and get out the door.
Yeah.
And that's why I think we have to kind of walk people through that process in a live shot to let them know this is what it's going to look like on TV. Here's the video I have that you can speak to. So it's sort of see dog, say dog.
Yeah.
And we don't have somebody talking about like rebuilding a car and we're showing a picture of like a cute puppy on TV.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we've done, but in car related.
Yeah,
but
right.
We can cover it all. It sounds like, you know, you're always learning. You're a lifelong learner. So I think this job is like perfect for you. Because like you said, you're learning about everything.
Front row seat to history.
Right. Like directly like from the experts. And something you accomplished recently that we have in common, you got your doctorate. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. And same to you. I know you and I were both kind of going through that journey.
At the
same and during
time.
The live shots, I'd be like, oh my gosh, can you believe this class I have?
And I'm like, yeah, I can.
You can relate to the stress in working full time. So I think one, coming back to my job, I always would joke to people saying, like, I get paid to learn something new every day, which I'm really grateful for that. Because, you know, when I roll up, whether it's to a school or a hospital or even an event, you know, you meet people who that's their wheelhouse. And I always say, if I can just learn one thing out of every live shot, it's a great day.
Yeah.
Right. And I think for me, it was always on my bucket list to go back to school. I was really inspired to go back to school to get my PhD because of my mom. My mom was at the time 57 when she got her doctorate. So it really showed me like, hey, you know, you don't have to worry how old you are or whatever, how long you've been out of school. And I did my master's at Marywood and I always loved it. And I kept in touch with people there. And at the time, because people don't realize it. So my shift, I'm usually in bed most nights by 6 p.m. Like 6:30 is late, right? So
late
6
night.
p.m. I'm in bed. 5 days a week, I'm up at 2 a.m. Saturday and Sunday, if I sleep in until like 3:30 or 4 a.m., it feels like I slept till noon and it's great. So at the time, you know, when I wanted to go back to school, because I graduated with my master's in 2007, but at the time there was still a lot of the, you know, all the PhD programs, it was in class at night from 6 until 9 p.m. because most executives or other people, they don't get out of work till 5.
Right.
So they couldn't go to class until 6 at night. And for me, I'm like, I got to go to bed.
Yeah.
I mean, I muscled through that in my master's program doing night classes. But when you're in class at night in a statistics class until 9, and I know that alarm's going to blare at 2 a.m., it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Right? Because I don't have a job I can tuck my head in a cubicle. You got to be on or otherwise people are like, what's he on today?
Yeah.
You know? So for me, that's why I went back to school. So it was what, 2 years ago now, because Mary would like some programs, they moved a lot of their coursework online, asynchronous, and I can kind of just do it throughout the week.
Yeah.
I think it was actually that was a little bit harder. I don't know how your courses went.
Yeah, it was a lot harder because again, I'm a face-to-face person. I had to be very I had to learn discipline like early on.
Especially statistics. I don't know if you had stats one and stats two, but numbers and me, that's why I work in television. So I don't have to deal with
that. I know. That's why I like to raise the money. I don't necessarily like to.
I don't need to count it.
That's right. I know what I raised.
So I went back to school then. And I mean, it was just such a great experience. And but I think, you know, coming out of that, you know, I look back as people think, oh man, 2020. But 2020, when you really step back and pause for a moment, you know, I was grateful. Mary would ask me to give the commencement speech this year. And part of it, I said, COVID was the great pause for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Because when I graduated, I thought, okay, I got my PhD, now I'm going to do this. But then my goals changed. And I had time to think more about what my future looks like. What does my role look like at NEP?
Yeah.
How do I reinvent that?
That's great. I think, you know, if you can see the opportunity inside of it, you know, for us, it's been the same thing here at the college. Like people are like, oh my gosh, well, how are you going to deliver hands-on technical education and like during a pandemic? And I thought, well, we're the ones who have the great relationships with all the employers. We can spread out. Our students can be here. They can be out at industry locations. And it works for everybody. And, and knock on wood, it's we've been really successful.
I think the one thing I have to say, and our CEO of the company I work for, WNE's parent company, is Tegna. And our CEO said it really well. You know, whether it was a Johnson College or even our TV station, if you would have ever thought back in the day, and so many other companies can relate to this, that, okay, we're going to move our whole workforce remote. Companies would have hired consulting groups. They would have done studies on it. They would have spent a ton of money to see, can we get live from Mindy's kitchen at home? Or can Ryan be live in his living room? How will this look? What will it sound like? And when the pandemic hit, you didn't have time.
You just did it.
I mean, in March, our station and our engineers, they're all like MacGyver.
Yeah.
We were like out of the building in March. That place was empty and we didn't miss a beat on television.
Yeah.
And so many other companies, they're in the same boat.
Yeah.
You know, if there's a will, there's a way.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you didn't have time to think. You just did it.
I know. And that's why I was like, well, this is the advantage of being in technical college. Like you said, we have like, you know, how many MacGyvers here? They just like within 2 days, they're like, oh, we got this.
They're like, we got it. No big deal.
And we're moving on. So again, maybe not the pandemic, but could you share maybe one of your like wildest stories you ever covered or most fun or like what sort of like over the years?
So I think, you know, in my career now, probably I think I'm nearing 19 years in television. So a lot of people think like, oh, the coolest stories you ever got to do, is it going to like, you know, live with Regis and Kelly when he was on before Regis Philbin retired. Getting to meet a TV icon like that and doing a whole sit-down interview with him on his final show, that was super cool. Getting to meet other movers and shakers, like being on The View, not really on the show, but going and interviewing Whoopi Goldberg and other people and doing those hits or going behind the scenes of TV shows. That's like a huge perk and a fun thing of the job. But my most rewarding story I've ever done or coolest experience was a segment we did called Life at Sea, where I got to go with a photographer out to Norfolk, Virginia, and we flew in a, I think it was called a C-2 Greyhound. It's kind of like a hollowed out bus and landed on an aircraft carrier in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And I spent 2 days at sea with members of the Navy.
Oh, wow.
It was just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like to be on the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower and to be able to tell stories of hometown heroes. So spotlighting somebody from central Pennsylvania, two soldiers from northeastern Pennsylvania, but to see them and how people live day in and day out and what they're doing for this country and to live it with them for 2 days, coolest experience of my life. Because, you know, most runways at regular airports, what are they, like 1,000 feet or something or more?
Right.
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. But I know we had like 250 feet of runway to land and get it right. And it was intense and it was cool to be out there and learn how it all goes together.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. So what you've written a dissertation and you have all these great experience. Would you ever consider writing a book?
I don't know who'd read it. No, the dissertation was enough, right?
How
that is. 148 pages, I'll never forget, right? The dissertation was a lot of work, such a learning experience. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I give people credit, especially at universities who are continuously publishing.
Oh, I know.
I was able to get my dissertation published.
That's great.
And it was exciting, but it's so much work, right? To take it and condense it and rewrite it and make it not sound like your dissertation. But really, I was able to take 148 pages, I think it was, to 12 pages, right?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I don't know about writing a book, what I would call it, but, you know, it's been quite a journey, you know, but I have to say, trying to remember it, I'm a big believer in journaling every night. Mm-hmm. So I have a gratitude journal, but I also try to use that as a way to also kind of log my day.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to look back, as I'm sure you do too, like, and you think of your career, what you did and when you did it, or gosh, how did I do that?
Yeah. Oh, you know? Even like I said earlier, like looking back, you know, at March and just how everything just, you had to make decisions and go, mm-hmm. go. And I'm like looking back now and I'm like, wow. Like,
but I think that's leadership, you know, and that's kudos to you, because I think, you know, you can't be a leader of a company or of a college unless you take a stance. Mm-hmm. There's no gray area. So I think some people, and not everyone's going to like the decisions you made, or even at other companies, right? Like, should we really be in here counting money at the bank or whatever, right? Or, and I think you just have to make a decision. You have to stand by it and do what you think is in the best interest for whether it's your employees or the people you're serving, your students.
Yeah. And you know, what's interesting too, like, what is there, like, a piece of advice that you would give? Because it sounds like, you know, going back to the start of our conversation and your career path, like, you knew what you wanted. And so you seemed very passionate about it. You were very driven. And our students are like that here too at Johnson College. But for maybe like individuals that aren't that focused or maybe don't know what they want to do, do you have any, you know, advice?
The best advice, and I even gave students this one, like, I think I want to work in TV, but I'm not sure, is to find somebody who works in the industry that you want to be in, whether it's television, accounting, being the president of a college, and reach out to them. You know, LinkedIn is such a great platform that's a little less formal, but also a great way to connect with people. Yeah. And I've been able to meet so many people who I'm constantly networking. Like, my bosses will tell you, I am always like, hey, by the way, I reached out to so-and-so in corporate and I just wanted to pitch them a whole TV show idea.
Yeah.
You know, like, but to be open, like I always say, especially if you're already in an industry, but you're trying to level up in your own company to keep your immediate managers in the loop, right? So nobody's blindsided. But I think for people who are confused on what their next chapter is or what they're going to do, is to go shadow somebody for a day or to call them and pick their brain. I'm amazed at the people I've connected with on LinkedIn who I will message and say, hey, here's my spiel. I know you work on this type of TV show. I'm super interested and curious about how that layout looks like. Do you have 10 minutes for a phone call? And most times, whether it was people in Pennsylvania or in California, they'll be like, yeah, give me a call. Yeah, I can fit you in for 10 minutes. And being respectful for their time and having the questions and really just trying to be like,
preparing.
Hey, and I think that's the best way to figure out, you know, what your role or your dream job looks like.
Absolutely.
And I think the other thing is too, it's okay to want to change.
Yeah.
And I think the pandemic, and I don't mean to keep coming back to it, but I think it made a lot of people think, like, what matters to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a great quote during the pandemic. It was from Mel Robbins, the motivational speaker. And she had a quote out that said, quitting is for winners. Mm. And normally when people think, oh my God, you're going to quit, you're a loser, you're going to, you know,